Ecclesiastes, please, in chapter number 2. The book of Ecclesiastes, real quick, in chapter number 2. And just want to share a thought, and then we'll be dismissed to go next door. And we do ask that parents go and get the report cards, and we'll let the teachers go a little bit early to get ready. But do ask for parents to do that. And again, don't forget, the seniors will be available to offer those chili dinner tickets. That'll be a blessing also. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 2, and we're going to read verse number 26, Ecclesiastes 2, and in verse number 26. The Bible says this, it says, "For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail together and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit." Proverbs, you don't have to turn there, but in chapter number 4 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom." In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I want to talk to you real quick this evening about wisdom. Some have described, and I think it's a great definition, knowledge is described as knowing what to do. Understanding is described as knowing why you're doing what you're doing. But wisdom has been very well described as being how to do what you need to do. When the Bible talks about wisdom, it's talking about how we are to live our life, how we can do right, how we can please the Lord, how we can have success. That is wisdom. And it is one of the primary purposes of Cathedral Baptist Academy to give knowledge and understanding and to give wisdom to the young people. And again, wisdom, I believe, begins with a fear of the Lord. We are at a place in our United States and in our history where Christian education, or at least a non-public education, is not a matter of convenience. I believe it's become a matter of necessity. And I say that without hesitation, because the public has issued and has become very bold in this present culture a war against family-controlled education. I believe that the Bible teaches that it is the parents' responsibility to see that their children are educated. And I believe that the Lord gave us the church to teach all things and to help and to assist in the parents in doing so. I say that the world and our culture is fighting against this. And it's not just something, you know, to get an amen at a Christian school PTF. On January the 15th, 2021, just a few weeks ago, in the Huffington Post, Rebecca Klein wrote an article that says, quote, "Christian education materials such as Abeka and Bob Jones Press leads to events like last week's riot at the U.S. Capitol." That's what it says. You're being targeted. You're being targeted. And the teaching and the preaching and the instruction that is coming. Now, I am not a doomsday person. I know, as a believer, we win. Praise the Lord for that. But I'm also a realist and a biblicist in studying the Bible, that I recognize that in the end times, perilous times will come. And I do know this, and I say, and I'm very bold in those statements that I made, because the public school system is not giving wisdom or understanding. Because wisdom begins with a fear of the Lord. And there is no fear of the Lord. There is no fear of the Lord in that system, and unfortunately, becoming more and more and more in our nation. I turned on for just a few minutes, because that's all I could take this morning, the Congressional Prayer Breakfast. And I began to listen to them. They know not of what they speak. And you say, you're judging. Yes. And it's okay. Judge not, lest you be judged. Would you just keep reading that chapter? All right? The Bible talks about the fact you need to make sure you're right so that you can help others. You shall know them by their fruits. I'll go on so you don't get mad at me. But, you know, the fact is this, all right? There is no wisdom being given because there is no fear of God. And the knowledge that is being passed on, 2 plus 2 is 4, although they may come in at a different way now, but 2 plus 2 is 4, but they're giving a skewed version of knowledge. A skewed version of knowledge. They're giving facts based upon some untrue basis. Say, how can you be so bold? Because in Ecclesiastes and in Proverbs and throughout the Word of God, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. In the book of Ecclesiastes, 28 times wisdom is mentioned. And the author of Ecclesiastes is the wisest man that ever was, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, on the face of the earth, and that of Solomon. He had great knowledge, but he is seeking in the book of Ecclesiastes the meaning of life. And he finds it, by the way. Look back in at the end of Ecclesiastes in chapter number 12 and verse number 13. Solomon kind of gives us the conclusion. It says here in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. There it is. That is the beginning of wisdom. Amen? Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The secret of it all is fearing God and keeping His commandments. So he understands and he gives us the summary of everything here. And so we have to understand that what we're doing as a ministry and what we're doing in the school ministry is not just a matter of convenience or not just something that we, you know, picked up to do because it's, you know, a lot of fun, it's so easy. No, all right? It's the most demanding ministry that we have. It is probably one of the most pricey ministries that we have. It is something that we do because of a conviction that we have an obligation as parents and as believers to train up our child in the way they should go. And that must include wisdom. This public school system that is producing a culture that excludes God, that questions God, that is anti-God. And again, this is something, you know, my parents went to high school in the 60s, all right? And you know, and that wasn't that long ago, amen? Some of your kids are like, what? You know, right? But, you know, it wasn't. And they started every day at the public school in prayer. Every day. Dayton, Ohio. West Carrollton and Miamisburg. Every day. There was never a sports activity on Sundays because that was the Lord's Day. I mean, even in the public school system, there was a fear, a reverence for the things of God. That is gone now. That has been removed now. And if you don't have wisdom, and wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord, if you don't have wisdom, then what are you doing in education? We have to give wisdom. So I want you to see a couple things about wisdom in the book of Ecclesiastes. And like I said, this won't take... I preached last week at our church like 1 hour and 10 minutes. And I said, but I'm taking extra time because next week I'll preach 15. So I got to kind of hold to that, all right? So in Ecclesiastes chapter number 2, I want you to see a couple things real quick about wisdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and in verse number 26, I want us to understand, number 1, that wisdom is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. In verse number 26 in our text, it says in Ecclesiastes 2, for God... What's the next word? Giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is a gift from God. I want you to understand, number 1, the source of wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. If you're going to have wisdom, it must be sought from the Lord. God, the Bible says, gives man wisdom. It's no wonder that this country is in the mess that it is in, because it is trying to build pillars upon that which is foolish. Amen. It's trying to change a culture into making it apart from God, and that fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We are going to fail without wisdom. I believe in freedoms. I believe in religious freedom. I believe in liberty. And I would die and give my life as an American for you to be able to have the freedom to choose to believe as you see fit to believe. I believe in that. I believe in freedom, all right? But the fact is this, that we have gone away from any sort of fear of God, and we've gotten to a place to where, again, the culture is against God. Our nation has some issues. We understand that. So what are we trying to do here? We're trying to teach our young people a factual history. So what is a factual history? Number one, we acknowledge our mistakes. This cancel culture that wants to act like nothing bad ever happened. That is foolish. Because if you don't learn from your mistakes in the past, you are doomed to repeat them. So, if we study American history, we must acknowledge our mistakes. And there were some. Because we have to learn from them. Amen? We teach factual history in that we acknowledge our Maker. That's what we teach here. We acknowledge our Maker in that the fact that He wants us to live for Him. Right. And the way we teach here is we acknowledge morals, that there is a right and wrong. Because that is the only culture in which life and liberty can survive. So I'll repeat those things. We acknowledge our mistakes so that we can learn from them. We acknowledge our Maker so we can live for Him. And we acknowledge morals because that is the only way life and liberty can survive. As the country puts away its morals, it will lose its freedoms. Right. And that is a process that's going on in front of your eyes.
Right.
You say, no, it ain't going to happen. Wake up. Wake up. What do we need? We need wisdom. The source of wisdom is the Lord. The secret of wisdom. Look in verse number 26 again to see the secret of wisdom. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. In other words, the only way you're going to get wisdom goes with my last point I just made. There has to be a moral compass. If we don't have a moral compass, you say, what's the moral compass? It's this book right here.
Amen.
And if we don't have a moral compass, then every man is going to do what is right in their own eyes. God cannot and will not bless sin. He can't. And He will not. And a nation that receives and lives and acts upon wisdom is a nation that has a fear and a reverence for the things of God. I do not expect everyone to believe just like me. But as an American, we must, if we're going to survive, have wisdom. Wisdom begins with the fear of God. And a land will flourish where godliness and morals are promoted. You see, God wants to bless. And that's one of our purpose in our school is to prepare a young person to enter life, to be able to live a blessable life, to have wisdom, to not just know facts and certain facts, but to know wisdom, to be blessed of God. You see the source of wisdom, you see the secret, and you see the spoils. Look at the spoils of wisdom. For God give it to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. Who doesn't want that? I mean, how many came into service tonight and said, boy, I hope I learn how I can successfully be miserable. Boy, I hope my kids grow up and hate life. I mean, none of us want that. We want them to be able to be productive. We want them to be able to stand on their own two feet. We want them to be able to be happy. Amen? We want them to enjoy this life. It requires wisdom. Without wisdom, it cannot be done. If they don't have wisdom, they cannot live this life of the joy that the Bible talks about, the abundance that the Bible talks about. I'm not saying everyone's going to be rich, not at all, but they will be content. They will learn to use what God gives them for the purpose that God has for them. That is the secret of the joyful life. So you see here, wisdom is a gift from God. Number two, wisdom is a gift to us. Look in chapter number 7 in the book of Ecclesiastes. And notice what wisdom brings with it for us. In chapter number 7 and verse number 11, this will go really quick. Chapter 7 and verse number 11, wisdom is good. Ecclesiastes 7:11, wisdom is good with an inheritance. And by it there is profit to them that see the sun. Number one, what does wisdom do? It helps provide for us. It helps provide for us. It says that it is good with an inheritance. Wisdom is good. You know, if you apply wisdom, you inherit some things. Amen. There's some inheritance that comes with wisdom. And not only that, but it says, and by it, wisdom, there is profit. I mean, how many of us would like to have a profitable life? Yes! It takes wisdom. It provides this for us. The Lord, He blesses. He wants to bless. Our children have inherited in this country much. We have been a very blessed nation. Our young people have inherited a lot of wonderful things because of wisdom. You look at our forefathers, you look at the history of this nation, there's a lot of wisdom there. There's a lot of, I mean, just, it's amazing, truly amazing when you study, you know, American history and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all these things that were laid out hundreds of years before today, but is so applicable, so wise, and how to handle all these matters. That's what wisdom does. It brings an inheritance. It brings a profit. It provides for us. In verse number 12, it protects us. For wisdom is a defense. And money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. It protects us. Wisdom. You see, wisdom enables us to enjoy security. A nation that promotes and teaches wisdom is a nation that is given defense and security. So can you explain that? Yes. Because with wisdom, you use your resources right. That's why it says money is a defense. Because wisdom, the fear of the Lord, wisdom teaches how to handle your finances. Wisdom teaches some basic principles. There is an inheritance with it. There is the blessings. We look back and we look at this nation, you know, in my lifetime. I mean, if you wanted a job, you could have it. If you wanted to make something of yourself, you could do it. This nation's been blessed. We've got the health care. We've got the money, the banks. We've got, all the technology. We have been blessed as a nation. Without a doubt, we've stepped out ahead. And I'm not, prideful about it. I'm not, patting ourselves on the back. I'm telling you, it is in direct connection with the fact that there was wisdom principles in the founding of this nation. A fear of God, and with it, a respect to these morals and a reverence for the things of God, and God bless this country. As we throw them away, that protection, that defense, will be in jeopardy. We've enjoyed financial blessings in this nation. If we don't raise a generation that knows how to do this and handle these things, it'll be thrown away. And not many of you are amen in this, but it's the truth. That's why we have this school, and there's many schools like it. Because young people have to be taught how to have wisdom. Because if we want a strong military and we want to have the means in this country and we want to have the money and we want to have all these things in this country, it takes and requires wisdom. Wisdom protects us. Wisdom provides for us. Wisdom powers us. Chapter 7 and verse number 19, it says there, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. It empowers us. It gives us our strength. I think there is little debate on whether America is a superpower today in this country, in the world's eyes. it has been, and it is. He said, well, America will always be, not without wisdom. I love history. I can take you back through chronicles of history and show you nations that was much more powerful in their time than America is in her time. That controlled much more of this world than America would ever think about. But they fell. They fell because as morals, they fell as a blasphemous lifestyle began and was embraced, be it Greece, be it Rome, be it whatever civilization you want to look at, they fell. Wisdom empowers us. Number three, it is a gift to other wisdom is. In chapter 8, verse number 1 says, who is as the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. When I read that verse, I think, remember when Moses was meeting with God upon the mountain, and he came down after experiencing the presence of God, and literally his whole visage changed. I mean, the people knew that he had been in God's presence. The Bible says over and over in the book of Psalms that the psalmist prays and requests that God's face would shine down upon him. Now, what is that? It is a picture of the blessings and the presence of the Lord God. And when we have wisdom, it says there, it says, who is the wise man who knoweth the interpretation? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine. In the same way, listen real close to this, I want to make sure I say it right. In the same way that the psalmist requested that God's face would shine down upon him, which would be the blessings and God's watch care and to be able to see God do great things by his face shining down upon them, the person and the people whose life is based upon the wisdom that is taught in the Word of God, their face will shine to others as well. Put it really right here. Ready? We want our young people to be a blessing to their communities. Amen? We want them to bring light to a dark world. We want the lost world to see that there's something special and different about the believer. We want them to see, and we want to be that blessing to the world around us, to be bold for the truth. That's what wisdom does. The boldness of his face shall be changed. We want our young people to be this for our community. You see, it is a gift to others. And then I'll close with this thought really quick. It is a gift that is very peculiar. In chapter 7 and verse number 12, again, we've already read this verse, but look at it one more time, and I'll close in prayer. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But look what it says. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. The excellency of knowledge. Say, Cazado Baptist Academy. One of our prayers, and my prayer as administrator, is that we will be able to provide these young people with an excellency of knowledge that will bring with it a wisdom that has all these blessings upon their life and upon their community and upon their family. That's what we desire. Without wisdom, it's not possible. In Solomon's words, I looked into everything he said, and this is the summary. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. We're here to do our best. And parents, may we be encouraged to do our best to give these young people wisdom.